You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hen.
Everybody needs some Hen love.
And Hotbox.
Altaholic wow extraordinaire. I see the green font. I know what that means. It means welcome to episode 51 of the Training Dummies, recorded for you on September 17th, 2013. My name is Rob, and I really am playing all the alts because this is kind of ridiculous with this timeless reigning loot island business over there. And with me this evening is a man of two... Oh, wow, you did this, huh? Two mains.
No way, I didn't do it.
He's either a Shamlock or a Warman. It's Hen!
Alright. I didn't do it. It wasn't me, honest. I didn't write those in there.
I'm pretty sure Anna... Not Anna.
Well,
the plan was to have Not Anna join us this week to teach us about the TCG. But Blizzard was gone and canceled it, so we're going to... I know, right? Well, I don't know. Have you been on the Hearthcast tip?
I love Hearthstone. But I really like the TCG because of all the Femtar cards.
Well, you can clearly hear that we did convince her to come on anyways and chat with us about the Timeless Isle and 5.4 and how that's going. So welcome to Anna.
Thank you for having me.
And that is, like we say every week, that is actually the chat room clapping for you.
Yeah.
Aww.
We brought in awesome. The audio from the applause from them.
Wow, that's awesome. Amazing technology.
I know, right?
It is.
Well, you are our third repeat guest.
Nice.
We said that Joe was our first, but then I forgot that Affinity actually came on twice. And then Joe was a repeat guest. And he was the one that kind of shared with us a little bit about the rares and looking forward to the Timeless Isle. And now, officially, we loved you so much we had to have you back.
Aw, thank you for having me. That's awesome.
It's awesome because, obviously, if anybody who was here pre-show probably heard that you enjoy discussing World of Warcraft.
I do. I really do.
So, how... I don't know. We didn't really do the interview questions back in the day. So, let's just kind of start from the beginning then. Where did you start playing the World of Warcraft?
I started playing in BC just after Sunwell was released. But we had one computer that could play World of Warcraft. And so, I could only play by myself. And I quickly got very frustrated and died a lot. I actually played a mage, and I just said, screw this game, and I quit. Probably a few months into it. And in Wrath of the Lich King, my husband started playing again. He's played since vanilla, and he was playing, and I watched him play it, and eventually, I kind of started liking the idea of playing again, especially playing along with other people. So I resubbed, and we played together, and we leveled together in Wrath, and so I was hooked at that point. So
it's a true love story.
It is! It's like the social aspect of it was what really got me. If it wasn't for that, I would have just been like, I don't like this at all. So
yeah.
So I don't know if I really classify that I started in BC because I was not a very happy player in BC. I was a very frustrated, angry player, lonely player in BC. And then when I started in Wrath, there was no dungeon finder. So I stepped up from by myself to just with my husband, and then there was we got into a guild and played with other people at that point, so it was like baby steps.
Did you always do PvP? Was that kind of always your
thing? No, I did not like PvP at all until Cataclysm, and I leveled a paladin only because I could play a Femtar paladin, and because I didn't want to play a Blood Elf Paladin. And at that point, I was able to play a Femtar Paladin, so I leveled one just because I thought it would be funny. And I realized that I really liked Femtar, and I switched all of my characters over to Femtar, like from Alliance, from Blood Elves, from whatever. And they all became Femtar, and I just loved it. And I played Aeon, my Paladin, in PvP a lot in Cataclysm, and I really liked it. And I've kind of gone that way because we've gotten out of the raiding scene since we raided at the beginning of Cataclysm, and then we stopped for real life reasons, and PvP just lended itself better to our sort of playstyle.
Well, switching over from Alliance is always a good decision in my books.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Yeah. To experience it from the other side. So it's kind of like I've had like a rebirth or something.
Sounds good. I respect that.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, what is your current main?
Well, I created my mage in BC, and she's actually abandoned on another server, and I feel bad that she's there, but she's still there, and I actually logged back into her in Cataclysm so she could get my achievements across the realm. But I just leave her there and I don't touch her, and she's kind of like a testament to me not wanting to play by myself. And then when I recreated my character in Wrath, I made a druid, and she was my main all the way through Wrath. I didn't have any alts at all. Cataclysm, I had alts near the end, and so I still consider my druid my main and who I identify with, Anabi. And she's moved around to a couple different servers, and she's just kind of been the character, like, before we've had account-wide achievements, she was, like, the one that, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I have to switch to her so that she gets them. So she's always been, I've always identified her as my main, but really, I play her in PvE, and then I have a Mistweaver monk that I play in PvP, and then I just recently...
Yes.
So, yeah, I kind of, like, switch. I feel like I have, like, just lots of mains.
Oh, gosh.
I just have one. It's Hend.
Wait, what about your man of two mains?
I didn't write
yeah,
that.
That's right.
Busted. So yeah, I'm thrilled that you are rocking the Mistweaver monk. I think it's great. Funny. It brings tears of joy.
Ah, yay! And I even tried Windwalker because of Rob. I wasn't going to. I was defiant. I even kind of snapped back at him one day on Twitter because I was like, "No, I'm not doing that." No. And then I was, then like 2 days later, I had like my tail between my legs, and I'm like, fine, I'll do it. And I at the end of last season, because I had gotten the achievement, I could buy tyrannical gear with honor, and I bought a full tyrannical set of Windwalker gear. I still have no idea like what I'm doing in PvP on my Windwalker, but I can kill people really fast, so that's encouraging.
Well, when you're leveling, you can get away with Mistweaver up until Cataclysm, but
yes.
When you hit that point where you're going into Pandaria, it's kind of hard.
It is, and so. I fought it for about, I was probably 86 or 87. I can't remember where I was at, but I was somewhere out in in Kunlai, in Midnon Village, when I just said screw it, and there was a vendor there, and he had gear for Windwalker, and I just bought it all, and I just did it, and it was fine. And I still don't think I'm not very comfortable with it in PvP, but I did. I'm glad that I branched out a little bit. Thank you for that.
No, I have leveled as all three, and I think just for out and about stuff, Windwalker is the way to go.
It really is. It really is.
If you're just cruising around, I don't know, it's probably nice on the Timeless Isle too, because you got that your flying kick that'll get you out of some situations. But
it's important to be able to get away, running away.
Yeah, yep.
As I've learned, bringing a fresh 90 to the Timeless Isle, running away is very.
The first two, day or two on a PvP server wasn't too bad because everybody was so oh my gosh, I need to get these chests and stuff.
Yeah.
But ever since then, now everyone has realized, the bloody coins and all that stuff, and it's just a mess now, so.
Oh, Well, I can't imagine. Eesh.
Well, you've been on the show before, and we did talk about a lot about community and what it means to actually contribute inside and outside of the game to the community. But why don't you tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing and what the community is doing for you? Or
well, up until about a year or so ago, I posted pretty frequently on the WoW general discussion forums, and it's pretty well known, and I just was trying to be a positive influence there. I know that a lot of people have a certain feeling about the WoW general forums, and I was trying really hard to change that because I don't feel like it's that, and I feel like there's a lot of really wonderful people there that are just wanting to help, and we just want to, we all like the same thing, and let's just like talk it through. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went there, and I really am proud of, you know, the time that I spent there, but unfortunately, real life things have made it difficult for me to do that on a regular basis with good jobs and such. So I guess it's not unfortunately in the long run, but I don't post on there as often. I do post sometimes, but I tweet quite a lot on Twitter, and I do have a blog that I post about random like Femtar sorts of things and community things on Femtar.com. So that's kind of been my outlet because I need something to like to express all of that that's built up that I can't put on the WoW forums all the time anymore. But I am on there sometimes.
So here's a very important question. Boxers or briefs?
I would say briefs if we're talking about, yeah.
Yes. Femtars.
If we're talking about Femtars, if you look at Femtar, which is actually the plural designation of Femtar, Femtar is Femtar, to clarify, briefs. I don't think you would see a Femtar in boxers. Not even a male tar.
Oh, I don't know if we... Well, well, Marty says, got to keep those udders snug.
Wow. GG.
Hey, Anna, what have you been up to this past week in-game?
The first thing I did when I logged in was, after the patch, was noodle cart, and I had to have the noodle cart. I don't raid. I do LFR, like, once just to see it and be like, oh, that's cool, and then I stop. Pretty much, and then I PvP or I get achievements and explore and do other little things. But the noodle cart was like really cool to me, so I went out and I did that, and I posted some stuff on my blog about that. And then I just kind of have been hanging around on the island with my guildies and my friends, and my husband, that normally just only PvPs, is actually enjoying some of the PvE content. So I'm really like enjoying that time that we're actually able to play together in some of the PvE content, with of course some BGs to mix things up and keep some PvP in there, and then occasional PvP on the island because Miranda or Elamuna in my guild cannot resist killing a paladin that's flagged. So if there is a paladin that's flagged and they're on the Timeless Isle, Elamuna is going to try to kill you at least. You can have like 20 of your friends and she's going to attack you. I guarantee it.
That's awesome.
And then I leveled my mage to 90 on Sunday, and woo-hoo! I did the Cipher of Damnation questline in Shadow Moon Valley for her staff to match her transmog, because you got to look good.
True that.
And brought her out to, brought her out to the Isle, which that's where I got my first honorable kill was from Miranda killing a paladin. So that was fun. And the Shadow Moon Valley quest line is just like, it's just like the most painful quest line I've ever done, but it has such an awesome weapon at the end, the Staff of the Redeemer, and it was just worth it. So I'm saying I'll never do it again, but I guarantee you if I like level something else that has a staff, I probably will.
I'll have to go out and do that. I don't even think I've ever finished that zone, so.
Oh my gosh.
I did.
It's so pretty.
A long time ago.
I've done it so many times, and every time I do it, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. That's horrible. It's so, in the end, you're just like, oh my gosh. gosh, that's amazing. And it matches my mage's transmog perfectly, so I could not do it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Could not.
Exactly.
Well, what have I been up to? Between the Isle, I've been, I didn't play much last week, I don't think. For some reason, I was busy last week. I did get hand up to 9 out of 12 of the runestones, though. So, with a little luck, I'll complete that this week on hand. My warlock is only at 5 out of 12. Last week, I got one runestone, which is just... The RNG on that is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. 6 bosses, and I get one. Just one. So, at least now there's 10 this week that have a chance of dropping the runestone. So, hopefully, I can do that or get have a better chance at getting one. Friday night, we did some flex. We had... Now, I don't know everyone that was in the raid because some people were inviting friends of theirs. But we did have... there's myself and Rob. We had 3 of our other guildies, including my wife, was there. We had Epic Insanity was there. Vero from the Out of Mana podcast. There was... Salty from Bitter and Salty podcast was there. We had Joe there. While Mardian was there. We had, my cousin was there as well. I haven't raided with him at all, so that was kind of cool. And, you know, a few other people. So it was a lot of fun and it was really cool. I love flex raiding. We killed the first boss. And we only wiped once on that, I think. And then the second boss, we didn't quite get it, but it was cool to see how it scaled as, you know, it was starting to get late and, you know, someone dropped and then you could see the boss's scale and difficult, like their health would drop. So it was really cool. And you know, it's just the way it works. It's just, it's awesome. This is what our guild has been waiting for. For 9 years.
That's
like, awesome. So, you know, I'm hoping we can field our own set of 10. Like, you know, we get enough people back in and around and interested that we can get a full 10 guildies in there. But part of the problem we've had a lot of times is that we'll have 11 people. And, well, you're sitting one person out who was unlucky enough to not see the calendar sign up in time to be the last one to sign up, so he didn't get to go. So now this fixes all that. So I'm really excited about the flex. We've got another one scheduled for this Friday, so hopefully we can get a little farther this time. But yeah, other than, you know, messing around on the aisle a bit, that's about all I did this week. You know, it was pretty quiet. I did my Throne of Thunders, just the bosses I needed for the runestones, and that was it. Rob, what have you been up to?
Well, 14 level 90s is, you would think that would be a lot of work to gear up, and it's not at all. It takes about a grand total of 45 seconds, I think. my warlock went from like 458 to 496 in like 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And I think every single one of my tunes and their off specs are about Siege of Orgrimmar, like LFR ready at least, you know. So
it
was pretty crazy. I became intimately familiar with the location of the chests on the island and made my rounds. And that very first day, you know, everyone, like I was saying, everyone is so excited about being there that there wasn't a whole lot of PvP going on. People were kind of letting you run past and letting you do your thing. And then as the week went on, it gradually turned into just a subtle reminder of how much I don't really care for playing on a PvP server, but yeah, it's all right though. I mean, other than like, unless you have something very specific in mind, which we were trying to, Hind and I were trying to do some of the achievements last night, And yeah, that was like, I was just trying to get to the point where I could run across those little ropes and loot the chest. And every single time I got up there, somebody would knock you off the side, or you'd get jumped by like four or five guys, you know. But other than that, you know, there's the gearing is very easy. This is, like I was saying beforehand, this is like the opposite patch.
Yeah. Oh,
this
yeah,
is like their blatant apology for like how much like they have been like hating on alts and
yes,
and gearing this expansion. This is like even more so than the Hour of Twilight five mans. This is just like you walk in and loot just starts raining out of the sky everywhere and you can't pick it up fast enough. So
it's like literally laying on the ground.
Yeah, and having the alts actually just perpetuates the whole thing. So you take one tune through and you get like a truckload of tokens, and then you mm-hmm. you know, and then I go to the mailbox and ship them off whoever needs it, and then I go and grab another tune, take him through, and get a whole bunch more tokens. Just keep doing that. So everyone's got rings and tokens, or rings and trinkets, and
I can't imagine.
It's ridiculous.
That's just crazy. It makes me want to level my characters. I mean, I don't think I would have leveled my mage, to be honest. I mean, if this wasn't here, if it was just like a normal like patch where we have, I mean, a couple scenarios and a raid and a zone to do quest line, I wouldn't have leveled her. I wouldn't even thought about it. This was like, it was like, hey, I need to level. And now I'm like actually considering leveling other characters just because of this. Because like my paladin has a full set in her bag right now. And if she turns 90, Aeon will have a full entire set of gear. And so I don't feel like I would be behind. It would just be another opportunity for me to play her, which is excellent.
I think they're done. I'm kind of responding to Joe a little bit. He's talking about the bottleneck through the expansion of gear and leveling up, and how towards the end of an expansion, you know, they really loosen the reins because it's almost done. But I think really the evolution of the game now too, with LFR and with flex rating, these are features that are huge. These are features that are designed to like capture people and you know, and to bring people back who used to play. So they really, really have to make sure, like, you know, a buddy of mine logged in who hasn't been on in like 3 months. You know, if that guy logs on and he can't get to the new content within a matter of minutes, he's gonna say screw it.
Exactly.
You know, so they really, really have to be generous at this point, I think.
We had a guildie that hasn't been on since, gosh, I can't remember. He's at least skipped a couple patches, mm-hmm. if not from the very, very beginning. The last time we've actually like played as like a group was at the beginning of Pandaria, and he logged on this weekend, and he stayed on. And then we had another guildie that came back and was actually like, "Wow, look at this gear I'm getting! It's amazing!" Because he has gear from like two expansions or two patches ago.
Yeah.
Yes, he has blue heroic gear, and he's coming in here and he's able to get like current stuff and do the new stuff instead of like coming in and like, "Oh, well, I'm behind, so I might as well quit." It's awesome.
Right on. That is I don't want to take up any more time talking about gearing 14. Yeah. Anybody who's over there knows that it's good fun. I may have stomped through it a little more quickly than maybe I should have. I don't know. But with Siege being out now and LFR opening up, you know, I think it's the way to be.
Yippers, I think you talked longer about doing it than it actually took you to do it there.
Probably. I think you're right.
All right, well, let's keep this rolling then. We didn't have any listener emails or whatever, probably because we haven't recorded in 3 weeks.
I've been off the grid a little, man. I was out of town, and you were lost in Canada land somewhere.
Yeah. So, but we do have an email address, so I just want to point that out now. Keep it fresh. theshow@thetrainingdummies.com. So if you want to send us an email, send us an MP3, a question, a comment, whatever. Just send us an email. So
that email address is so fresh, it had to go live with its auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Darn rights.
Hi-hat.
All right, well, let's hit this.
That.
This is Seraphis from the Sundering and Azeroth Pirate Radio podcast, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
All right, let's get on to our discussion topic, which is, if you guys haven't guessed, the Timeless Isle. The reason we're doing this is because I know it's only been a week, but there's a lot of things that a lot of people don't know, myself included. Like, I just found out where the mailbox was yesterday, for instance. You know, the first couple times my bags were full, and I took the first flight path, the closest flight path, to go so I can mail something. So anyway, what we're talking about today is just some of the things you can do on the aisle. So I want to throw this disclaimer out there. If you don't want to hear this because you want to explore...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, exactly. This is a spoiler alert for basically the rest of the show. That if you don't want to hear about this stuff, then maybe turn it off. I don't want you to, but maybe, you know, because you want to explore and find this stuff on your own.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so I'm just going to throw that out there. So anyway,
this isn't by any means very comprehensive. This is just like a quick, like, here's just what we ran into in the first few days and how to gear up quickly and some things that are just fun. Or here, I wish I would have known this right away.
Where the mailbox was. Parking
mailbox, yeah.
Where is the mailbox?
Well, there are three types of currencies that you can find out on the Timeless Island. There's the Timeless Coins, the Celestial Coins, and the Bloody Coins. The Timeless Coins are the main currency that you're going to find from running around. They fall off of everything, whether you're herbing or mining or killing mobs or killing rares or turning in quests. Pretty much that is like the main thing that you're going to get. There's no limit on how many coins that you can have, but they can be used to buy all sorts of different rewards.
Yes, you can buy mounts, you can buy trinkets, you can buy gear, you can buy keys to open more chests. They're like falling from the sky.
Yeah, I think I've spent
I don't want to know how much.
Heck of a lot. Yeah, right.
I think I've spent more coins on buying keys to open chests than I have on anything else.
I've done it a couple times, and I keep saying that I'm not going to do it, and then I go back in there, and I'm like, I'll just buy 10 keys. Just 10 keys.
Just 10. Just 10. You know, I think, though, that buying the keys is actually a better way of trying to get another Burden of Eternity, to be honest. A free upgrade, yeah. Because I've gotten, from my personal experience, I've gotten one from doing that. And then just... math-wise, I mean, every time you open one of the treasure chests, the chances of getting between 1 and 1,000 coins, and they only cost 500 per key, I've mostly gotten between 350 and higher. I very rarely have gotten less
than that. I saw
Medicakes. It feels like it's better.
Yeah, Medicakes, mm-hmm. Yesterday I saw her post. She hit 10,000 from one chest. 10,000 coins.
Nice, yeah.
I know.
I think, yeah.
Dude, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought there was a really high number. Is that what it is? That must be. That's awesome.
Yeah, she posted that. I think it was her first one, too, and she hit 10,000. It's like, wow. What is this place?
That's what I would do.
That won't perpetuate any problems there.
I know. It's like you win the jackpot in Vegas, and then you just win it all, bet it all. I would totally do that. That's awesome.
Okay,
I didn't realize.
Okay, so since we're talking about this cave right now, where is the cave? Where can you give these keys?
The cave is on Timeless Isle. It's Kukuru's Grotto. And on the Timeless Isle, you have 4 main caves. And there's one cave all by itself, and then there's 3 together, and it's the one in the middle of the 3. And inside Kukuru's Grotto, there's a monkey, and he sells you keys to open the chest. And the keys cost 500 coins each.
Do either of you know if that cave is a safe zone? Because I had somebody trying to attack me, and I ran in there, and they seemed to have stopped. So I don't know if it's...
I don't know. I play on a PvP.
All right.
Sorry. I play in a Kyber.
Well, if anybody in the chat room knows, because I a couple times I ran in there, and it seemed to have gotten me away from what was going on, but I don't know if that... I've never seen PvP going on in there. I don't know.
No, I've... I... Even, like, the tigers... Well, no, the tigers will jump on me. Because I always tend to aggro all the tigers in between. not on purpose, but just because I'm terrible. But I aggro most of them, and they actually will jump in there after me. But that's PvE, so I'm not sure about PvP.
I'm so used to running around and everything is dead. So I don't have to worry about it. But then the other day I got in, I went on to a tune of mine on Malorn, which is Hathor from Lo Pop Wow. That's her. I've got a tune over in her guild. And I was running around and there were so many mobs everywhere. I was like, I can't even go and get my chest because there's too many mobs everywhere. No one's trying to kill me because there's no one here, but.
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword of having a low population server. Ours is a medium population server, so we don't have a lot of people killing you, and because there's not a lot of people like that are flagged from the PvP item, but yet they're also killing a lot of the mobs, so it's a really nice balance. It's really it's a nice place to level to ding 90 and then go to the aisle here.
Yeah.
You can pretty much survive. I think I've died like maybe a couple times, and that was mostly from going places that I shouldn't be.
Rub it in,
Anna. you just have to come to Khadgar. It's amazing.
Oh goodness. I have some things on like PvE servers. I have Gasp. I have Alliance tunes on PvE servers.
What? Why? I have a PvE monk on Alliance on my same server that I've actually sent her so much gear that she, when she turns 90, she'll have all gear too.
Yeah.
And I actually really want to level her now. Like, I'm really, like, I'm torn. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
You're torn?
I'm torn. Actually, her name is Tarin. Her name is Tarin, and so
awesome.
It was all I could do to, and she's a Draenei, so I gave it two A's, because then she would be, like, really like a Draenei, so it's Tarin.
Nice.
Yes, I was staying true, and she has hooves, so that's close, right?
Yeah. That's a D-line equivalent, right?
That's close enough, right? Yeah. But the best part about Kukuru's grotto is the pet that you can get from one of the chests, which is a little monkey with boxing gloves.
That's cool.
He's so adorable.
Okay.
I love him. Do you not have one? I've gotten like three of them. Actually, I've gotten four. I got one tonight and I had to destroy him and it just like pained me. Because you can't cage them and you can't give them to your friends.
Oh goodness. Yep, I'm gonna have a monkey with boxing gloves. You just stole my heart.
You need them. You need it. Yep. You need it. I've spent most of my coins there.
I'm not even into pet battling, but like, I'll get that.
Oh no, yeah, I don't pet battle him. He's just adorable. That's all that he does. He's just cute.
Well, speaking of pet battles,
yes,
there's the second type of coin is the celestial coins, and those are part of the celestial tournament, which is the weekly pet battle scenario that you can do. And that rewards you with one coin. And those coins can be used to buy pet battle-related rewards.
Yes. And they're awesome. But I don't have... I only have 11 25 pets.
I have 0 25s.
You have to have 15. Oof. It used to be 30. So that's nice that they helped you out and only...
Oh, it's 15 now.
At first it was 30. You had to have 30 level 25 pets, which is a lot for, like, the average person. Like, I didn't even start pet battling until probably, like, 2 or 3 months ago. So it's a little overwhelming to think that you need 30 of them. So they brought it down to 15, which is nice, but I only have 11. So, yeah, you can get pets and... you can get a flawless battle stone, which is a stone if you don't pet battle that turns your any of your pets into a rare pet, which makes them more powerful. So it seems really awesome. I'm not a very good pet battler. I die a lot and I have to like be gimmicky and so I don't know that even with 15 pets, I think I need 30 pets so that I can actually do it. But
well, I respect that.
I'm not good. I no, I'm not good.
Yeah, I have 3 level 19s, and that's as far as I got. I just didn't feel like doing it anymore. Probably because I had to go to Outland. Outland was the next place I had to go, and I just kind of lost interest at that point. I don't know if it's Outland's fault or what.
No.
But
I did the exact same thing. It was terrible. And I have to give it to my guildie, Miranda, the one that kills the paladins. She gave me a pet that was the same level. Like, if you have a pet at a certain level, you can receive pets at that level, too. You can't learn pets that are higher level than the highest level pet that you have. So she gave me a couple pets that helped me out get past some of the trainers. And then I got on, like, this roll of killing, just beating the trainers. And then last thing I knew was I had level 25 pets. So it's important to, I think it's nice to kind of switch gears when you get to Outland to just, like, go back and do some of the quests. But that's a battle pet thing, so. But yeah, Elamuna, she's in the chat right now. Elamuna, Miranda, the paladin.
Oh, hey, Miranda.
She is the pet battler, guru. She's amazing. Every time that I got stuck, I would just be like, please help me, and she would help me. That's why I have 25 pets.
Once you have one, you can actually buy them, right?
Well, no.
I thought you could,
Before Stupid Garage, before Garage ruined the Vale, there was a lake there that had these little, like, water striders that you could fight with your level one pet, because they always started out with a healing spell. So you could put your level one pet out and attack them.
They wouldn't.
And then you would swap and you would kill them. And it wasn't hacks. I was just gaming the system. Oh, there's striders on the river now. Okay, I needed to go do that.
There you go.
So that's where I leveled all of those pets. Like, there was, like, maybe two that I leveled, like, legit. Otherwise, I just was standing in the Vale killing water striders. So, but Mir taught me. She made a little, like, app, a little web app for me, or for people. I probably use it more than anybody, but it's, like, shows me which pet I should use.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah.
It's amazing. I'll give you the link too. It's very simple. It's a simple web app, and it helps.
Yeah, we can throw that in our show notes too, and share that with all the people. Well, the last kind of coins out on the island are bloody coins obtained by doing PvP. So if you are so inclined, each time you kill another player, and it doesn't even have to be an opposite faction. If you've got the little aggro machine doohickey thing, you can actually kill your own faction to get the coins off of those guys too. So I'm not really sure what the rewards are. You can buy those from Speaker Gulan, and I'm sure they're PvP related.
Yeah, you can buy, there's a pet and there's a mount.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And one of them's a Mushin that you can walk around on, which would be really neat.
So you need to get the killing blow, according to Apple Cider Mage.
Yes. So it sucks for healers, which
unless you're a monk, you got to spin kicking your way through there.
I know, but you have to do the killing blow, and you'd be surprised. Like I did a few, and I have zero. And my Mistweaver monk has no coins, and she's probably helped with like at least like 10 kills, but she has zero.
Rob and I were helping the Alliance get some yesterday.
Yeah, we were donating them left and right.
All the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're so helpful.
You're just like standing there, here.
Anybody want a bloody coin?
That's what it felt like.
I'm trying to do this.
You're so nice.
I'm just trying to mind my own business, but if you want a bloody coin,
that's
come
awesome.
And take it from me.
You're so generous.
I know, right? Well, there is a crap ton of loot that, like we were talking about earlier. It is raining. It is falling. It is falling from the trees. It is in little piles of dirt on the ground. It is in chests. It is being carried around by mobs. And it's in the form of tokens. So basically, however you come across one, whether you loot one or kill one or pick one up or get one out of a chest, you get a token that is, it'll show you what the piece is. And it'll be like cloth boots, plate belts, leather shoulders, whatever it is. And it'll tell you that it's a 496 piece of gear. At this point, there's no stats on it or anything. It's just basically a token. So you can either click on it and turn it into a piece of gear. And I strongly recommend double checking your loot spec at the time. This is the voice of experience talking. I wasted a couple of tokens.
This is me speaking after messing up a whole bunch of times.
I may have turned a plate helmet into a 535 tanking helmet on my part that I will probably never use. But
you really?
Yeah,
that makes me sad.
It's all right. It's an alt. But just double check. Make sure because you can gear up your off-spec extremely easy by using this method. So, get those pieces. What you want to do, and we'll get it. Actually, I won't even worry about it right now. You can turn a piece of gear into a 535 gear. We'll talk about that in a second. There are pieces for every single slot, excluding weapons.
Well, and excluding, as a caveat, you can only get one trinket unless you pick a non-ideal trinket.
Right.
If you're a Moonkin, if you pick an intellect with a crit proc, and then also an intellect with a spirit proc, which is worthless.
They're unique for the spec, too, so you can't get two chest trinkets.
No.
You can double up, if, like Anna was saying, if you're a caster, depending on what kind of caster you are, I suppose you could get a healing one and a DPS one and use them both.
And it wouldn't be ideal, but you would still have the healing trinket is an intellect equip, so it would still be nice. I've only gotten the intellect crit trinket. I haven't gotten the intellect spirit trinket. So I think that Moonkins and Priests might be able to double up on their trinkets, but otherwise, no.
Well, and you were saying Frackett was able to. He was able to get the tanking one and the DPS one.
Yes.
Because it also had strength on it. It really didn't matter. So.
And in that case, that's actually a really good setup. I don't know a lot about tanking on Death Knights, but it seems to do really well for him because he can go up to the fire section where all those big guys, the Blazing Way, and pull everything, and he can live. So it must be good.
No, Death Knights are special like that. So.
They are special like that. I'm jealous.
Now the other thing, since we were talking about the timeless coins earlier, you can actually buy a timeless armor cache, which you will just need to buy it for whatever armor type. Whether it's leather, cloth, plate, whatever. And there's no guarantee what it's going to be, though. From what I understand, it can be a trinket, it can be a ring, or it will be something relevant to your loot spec. And that is for 7,500 timeless coins, and you can buy those from Mistweaver.
Okay, so this armor cache here, I have a question. So when you buy that armor cache, can you use the burden on that?
Well, I wouldn't.
Oh, that's a good question. But,
I wouldn't,
you know,
and here's why. Because you don't know what it is until you buy it,
you use it, and then it creates the piece that you don't know what it's...
Yes.
What equipment slot it's going to be. Idea. Okay.
So you'll get it, and it may be gloves, it may be a trinket, it may be shoulders, you don't know. So I wouldn't.
Yes, maybe you already have a timeless, shoulders, and then you use it on your cache, and you get more timeless shoulders, and then you feel like you've wasted it. Yeah, it's not, that's a good point, yeah. Okay. Definitely shouldn't use that.
Yeah, so, I'm guessing that you can, because like we were saying earlier, you cannot use the burden on a trinket as well. It'll tell you the item's not noble.
And the reason why you can't use it on a trinket is because you can actually purchase the timeless trinkets from the vendor directly.
Well, and they want to force you into that rep grind, otherwise you would just upgrade your trinkets and you wouldn't worry about it. So.
Exactly. Yeah, there's actually the exact same trinket. So like, for example, the intellect and crit trinket that you get for like a mage or a moonkin or a shadow priest. There's also a Yulon's Bite, a timeless version of it, which is what would happen if you could upgrade it, but you can't. Mm-hmm. But you can purchase it for 50,000 coins.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's like they're forcing you to not just rely on all of that. You're still going to have a couple pieces missing, unless, of course, you're Frackett and you have a strength trinket and a dodge trinket.
Well, and at this point, too, the prices on all the Valor gear have dropped quite a bit, and you can go buy a 522 trinket or, you know, ring or whatever. So, I feel like we need to start a new segment for the show, and it's going to be called Things I Learned the Hard Way, or or the Voice of Experience, I don't know, but...
Actually, yeah, I like that. That would be really nice.
Don't!
I'm taking notes. Other people. Voice like of that. Experience.
So here is my Things I Learned the Hard Way. Do not burn through all of the tokens that you get just because you got them. Just because no other, just because you've given them to all of your alts, just because all of your alts alts and your alts offspecs and everything are geared up, don't just burn them or dust them or shard them or whatever, because you will start coming across these burdens of eternity. You can get them off of rare mob kills, you know, there's a few different ways that you can get them. And if you don't have any more of the tokens, then you have to go out and try and farm up the token that you want to use that burden to get an upgrade. I learned this the hard way.
Yeah, don't. I had like 4 shoulders, and I learned all of them to pick the best one. And now I'm like, maybe I should have waited. And
I know, I did that too. I think it was on my priest. I was like, well, I want some spirit shoulders for her healing spec. So I kept like burning through these tokens until I got one spirit on them. You know, And now I'm like, oh, I've got like 5 shoulders in my bag. And then I sharded them all. And then I'm like, yeah, maybe I could have made some 535 ones. Jeez.
And then you log back in and you get a burden in your
Yeah, exactly. Well. Yeah. All right. Enough of me talking.
All right, well, there's a bunch of achievements for the chests. Looking at this last night, I noticed that, I don't remember what all the achievements are called. There's a treasure one. Joe is in the chat room. I'm sure he knows.
Yeah.
But anyway, it required 2 sturdy chests, and it was all I was missing. Where these chests are is on 2 pillars on the west side of the island. There's one in the south and one in the north. To get these, you need to use an albatross.
Yes, I love the albatross. It's fun.
Fun? Oh my god, it's so boring. 17 minutes, but...
Wait, okay, you're on a PvP server, so maybe my experience is a little bit different.
No, it was fun for the first 17 minutes of the trip, but then
it's a test of patience. It's a test of patience.
Right. So anyway, you need to attack an albatross. Where I found the best place, well, for arranged anyway, the road that leads up to the arena where you fight all these, what is it, the Celestials? That's where I was able to hop a ride on the albatross. You attack it once, it comes down, it picks you up. To get off the albatross, you need to kill it. When you attack it... Fast. When you attack it once, it stops moving, but not permanently. If you don't kill it fast enough, it's going to move a little bit farther.
Yes. And dots don't count. Dots don't count.
Yeah, so you need to be able to kill it before it moves past where you can safely land on the pillar, otherwise you will plummet to your death. I did not experience this. What's that?
I needed to bring the albatross down to about 15% or so, and then... That way, when it was time for me to get off, I was just
smacks. Like, as you're flying, I found this too. Like, as you're flying and it's taking 20 minutes for you to go, and you're like getting a sandwich and you're going to the bathroom, during that time, kill them down to they're just like almost dead. And then, especially if you're a character that's brand new, like my mage is brand new and she can't do that much damage. Mm-hmm. So she will burst them down until they have very little hit points left, and stop, so they keep flying. And then they keep flying, and then they fly over the pillar, and then I kill them, like, instantly, and then I can fall. And I can make sure that I'm not going to plummet to my death. So you can use that instead of against you. You can make it work for you.
Yeah, it did work. And there's... what Hand was saying, it was like two of the main chests that you need to get that are not easily picked up by running around on the ground.
Yeah.
Those are on the albatross route. The last two that I guess he and I both needed.
Yeah, so if you get off on the first pillar.
you got to wait like a minute or two. I had to anyway. And then another albatross will come by, and then you attack that one, and it'll take you all the way around to the other one.
Yep.
Marty said,
you have to be careful because other people can still damage the albatross. So, like, I wait, like, I stand at the pathway, and I get onto an albatross, and then I wait till I'm a little bit higher up and almost going around the horn before I start attacking them to bring them down low, just so that I don't get them low enough where someone else can kill them.
True facts.
All right.
True facts.
Now there's another.
There's so once extreme I got the treasure suit. Hunters.
Yeah. Is that what the next one is? That.
I think so. The one where you. Yeah.
So the first one is, I believe it was a gleaming chest. I think that's what it's called. But anyway, there's the road that leads up the mountain. Before the first bridge on the left-hand side as you're heading up, you'll see some pillars. I believe there's four pillars. What you need to do is hop across them, and on the last one is a chest. Once you open that chest, that's the first requirement of the achievement. Once that's open, you'll be able to do the rope walk. Now this one is before the second bridge, right before it, just to the right-hand side, before the second bridge, there'll be a little pillar that you can get onto, and you'll see a rope going across, heading, I believe it's west. So if you travel across that, when you get about halfway, you'll see another rope heading north and south. You want to take it north. So now this is where it gets tricky, is jumping down onto the other one so that you don't, if you miss it, you're done. You're going to probably plummet to your death. Seems to be a lot of plummeting to your death here.
It's a reoccurring thing.
Yes.
Unless you're a mage.
But when you get halfway across this other one, there'll be another one running east-west. You want to jump down to the west. Now, once you get to almost the end, here's the tricky part, or what I found to be the tricky part, was getting onto that pillar, jumping off the rope and onto the pillar. I tried backing off, I tried going sideways. What I always ended up doing was my momentum, I overshot it. So what I ended up doing to do this is I put my walk toggle. So I was walking, and I slowly backed off, and I didn't even come close to overshooting it. So that's how I was able to do it, because I was getting so frustrated. I had no problems walking the tightrope.
Yeah, I gave up on it.
Full run, tightrope walk, no problem at all. I probably fell off that, or missed the pillar. Didn't fall off the pillar. Missed the pillar, jumping off the rope. Four times, I think, before I figured out, maybe I'll try the walk. So once you do this, that one.
Hold on. This is a good time for another edition of Things I Learned the Hard Way.
Okay. Oh.
Yes. Now, apart from me being busy handing out bloody coins to everyone, I got up there to do this chest where you walked across the ropes. The thing I learned the hard way is that you have to do the gleaming treasure chest first, before the rope-bound treasure chest will spawn. So, I got onto the pillar where the rope-bound treasure chest should have been, and there was no chest there. So I had to go back and get the other one, come back around, then it was there. What were we talking about?
Treasure chest. The
treasure chest!
So, Marty mentioned, I got TomTom, and I set up the waypoints for all the different treasure chests, and it kind of, it outlines every single one, and as you go over the top of them, they disappear. So you can tell which ones you've seen and which ones you haven't. So that's been a really integral part of my exploration and my alts.
Yeah, I did TomTom, what day did I do that? Sentinel? One day last week. Anyway, yeah, I loaded my TomTom, I pulled for each different set of chests, and yeah, my wife and I just went around and grabbed them all, and that's when I found out I was missing two sturdy chests last night. I'm like, well, what's going on? How am I missing two? But anyway, if we get back to, was it the extreme treasure hunter? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
So after you get the rope chest,
after you get the Gleaming Chest, right, Rob? You can then, between the last two bridges, as you go up the mountain, between the last two bridges, there is a crane statue there. Now, I haven't done this part yet, so I'm...
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
I'm only talking about what I've read on Wowheads, which should be believable. But anyway, you click on this, from what I understand, and you guys can verify this, it shoots you up into the air, onto the clouds, where you grab your last chest and get the achievement. Bang, done, awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
It gives you, like, little glider wings, and there's, like, I don't know, dozens of chests on these little clouds everywhere, and you basically have to navigate and land on one.
Oh, it's so awesome. It's, like, it's so much fun. I did it on the PTR for the first time, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I love this patch. It was, that's all I had. That's all it took.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
And there is one other achievement. It's Pirate Treasure. I don't know what it's called, but anyway, it's about
Pirate Treasure. It's like, where there's pirates, there's booty.
Yeah, so I...
Yeah, Joe's got him linked.
There we go. So... Rob, have you done these? Do you want to explain them quickly, or
I did them all but the last one. But basically, there's two underwater. There's an underwater sunken ship, and you'll go down there, and there's like some corrupt hosen, and you kind of got to fight your way through them, and it's pretty deep underwater. But as you beat these hosen, they'll drop like a diving helmet that you can use.
That helmet is awesome.
And eventually, one of them will drop a key. You go into the bottom of this sunken ship. You get there's a chest in there.
That's cool.
Back around the other side of the island, there's an underwater cave where you go in, and there's a bunch of the like celestial ghost pirates in there. They're not even. You go in and you beat them. There's a chest in there, and then the final one is a ship that is docked around, I believe, the east side of the island, and it's got all kinds of mobs on it. And basically, you need to walk up onto the mast and kind of walk down, you know, a couple of ropes and make a couple of jumps, and you walk out onto a plank that's going way over off the side of the ship, and there is a loot bag hanging off the side that you can only get to by fighting your way up onto this ship. So, and then that'll
give you, very cool.
You another achievement.
So, Joe has mentioned in our chat room here that he did a live stream to show where all of these chests are, and he uploaded that video tonight. He kindly provided that link for us, so we will be sure to put those in the show notes, sending you to his channel, where you can see where all of these chests are. Joe's awesome.
Yeah. I know. It was great. He was the one that kind of got us psyched up for 5.4 a couple weeks back, and now it's live, and now we see the magic.
Right.
Experience it ourselves. Let's see. So we're kind of talking about chests before we move on to some of this other stuff. Now there's one guaranteed burden of eternity, and with that burden of eternity, that's what we were talking about earlier. It's a soulbound item that you can use on one of the 496 tokens, anything except for the trinket piece, and you can turn that token into a 535 piece of gear. Now there, like I said, there's one guaranteed one. It is on the other side of the busted bridge over in the Ordos area, and the easiest way to get over there is if you have the legendary cloak. Excuse me, and it'll you know, the little fart wind will come and blow you across the cavern, and you can fight your way over to it. If you don't have that, there are several other ways that you can do it. We have found... Oh, Fracket is saying that you cannot use the burden on trinket, rings, or neck.
No, you can't.
So you can only use it on actual gear slots that are not those.
Yes.
Okay, so the easiest way to get across this cavern...
Have a you don't friend.
Yes. Have your friend. Now, originally what I was doing was I got on my priest and I was life gripping people across.
That was awesome.
That's great.
They take the leap of faith before you use leap of faith on them. So they go run and jump, and then you can snatch them out of air and drag them over. We also found out that it works with passenger mounts, which is a lot easier. So I got on my mammoth that had me and then two seats in the back, and him and his wife jumped on the back, and boom, right across, no problem at all. that was good stuff. You can take the Albatross over, and after your 37 minutes of flying around the island, if you kill it properly, you can land in the area. There's slow falls, there's an engineering glider, you know, anything that you think will work will probably work. I read somewhere online that people were actually flying outside of the fatigue range of the island and flying in at this certain angle and coming in, like, and then they were able to make it somehow. But really what you want to do is you want to come around to the far west-hand side of the Ordos area. If you do not have the legendary cloak, do not try and walk into his little temple area, because you will immediately get ported out completely.
And then you will be sad.
And you'll have to run all the way back up, and somebody will steal your bloody coins, and you will be sad. So, and this is what Anno was saying earlier, the easiest thing you can do is if you see someone else coming, let them go first, because this trash is nasty. It's a little hard to solo, depending.
Especially if you're fresh and you're just trying to like get through to get your burdens so that you can gear up.
Now, if you're a druid or a rogue or a hunter, you can stealth in there, no problem.
Yeah.
What I did a couple of times was I just said, screw it, and I just went for it. All the trash, like, pulled everything, who cares, and I just got as far as I could, and then I ghost ran back and rezzed in that area, and then ran over and got this chest and got my loot, and I was excited, and it was good times.
Now,
so that's the one.
There's also, since you're doing that, but there's two very large fire elementals on either side of this chest.
Mm-hmm.
Leave
yes.
them alone.
Don't touch them.
They won't attack you. They may look mean and nasty, but they won't attack
you. If you go and dance on them, I think they might. But if you walk directly up the middle, they won't.
Like, yeah, unless you're like up there like poking them, they're not going to mess with you. And I've seen so many groups. Like when I went with my mage, I did a little bit of a corpse run, and then I got to the front, and there was an entire group of people that were working their way through and killing things. And they got to the elementals and they started pulling them and killing them. And they were like dying. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Just leave them alone. Like, they didn't do anything to anybody. Just leave them alone.
Just do nasty, nasty AOE. If you're
exactly.
melee, you're pretty much screwed.
Exactly. It's fine. It's no big deal.
So that's the main thing. And like what I was saying earlier, hang on to a token. Don't turn it into a piece of gear. Hang on to that token and just wait. You know, if you think, for me personally, usually, I don't know, and I don't know if this is just a cataclysm mindset for me, but helmets and shoulders are always the pain in the butt pieces for me to get. So I hang on to a couple of those unused 496 tokens and then turn them into a 535 gear, and you feel special afterwards, and it's awesome.
And another way to get across the crevice, if you can slow fall.
Crevasse.
Or slow fall or levitate, probably.
Yeah.
I literally just slow falled across it.
Oh, so. You're just now?
Just now, like just this very moment. Because off to the left of the, when you're looking across it to get over there, there's a little space where you can actually walk back up the mountain, and you can actually slow fall to that spot.
Oh, yeah.
Off to the left.
Oh, I don't ever have to worry about that.
So don't even, those of us without the legendary cloaks, you can just like fly, slow fall to the west side of that,
The only thing that I'm disappointed in so far with the legendary cloak is that I have been Death Knight tanking this patch, or since we started, I've been gearing up for that. My cloak is on my monk healer, so.
Okay.
I don't have the cloak on my tune that I'm even playing right now, so.
Aww.
Sad times.
Aww. That's a bummer.
Hey, and what is this deal about the Crystals of Insanity?
All right, so this morning on Twitter, in preparation for tonight, I threw out, so is there any tips and tricks that anyone knows of? And Blood Wow or Transmog Police said, it's easy to farm the Crystals of Insanity. They can be found in the North Cave in Eerie Crystals. So what the Crystal of Insanity is a
It's like a flask, or a half flask, basically. It gives you plus 500 stats for 1 hour with a 15-minute cooldown. So once you have it, you've got it. So as long as you don't die less than 15 minutes, you can always have a plus 500 stats. But what you do is you go into this cave, and you just click all the blue crystals until you get one. It's the Cave of Lost Spirits. She said she's done it on... 5 alts already, and I think the longest it's taken her is 20 minutes to get one.
Yes.
But yeah, just go in there and open them all up.
I have one too. I got it on like my third or fourth one. I didn't even realize that I would get that. It's excellent.
So you only need to find it once, and then you can just have it and keep it?
And then you have it, and you can keep it.
I got an item like that off of a rare, like, back in early...
Yes, Pantera. And it's the same one. Uh-huh. It's the same one. Because Fracket got the same one off of Rare at the beginning. Well, and I got it, like, by accident.
and you say that it's a half flask, but really it increases all your stats. So it'll give you stamina. It'll give you int. It'll give
is it
you,
all
it'll
stats?
Give you everything.
Ooh,
so no.
Well, even.
Yeah.
Amazing. Even better. It's amazing for a hybrid, yeah. It's amazing for
a
hybrid.
It's a sweet deal. Just
it really is.
Don't die more than 15 minutes.
And also, in that same... cave, the Cavern of Lost Spirits, is Zarum, which is, you may know from the WoW forums, as a community manager, there's a little skull floating in there, and if you click on him, he will send you into the spirit world, and you can open more treasure chests and get more coins and more treasure
from that.
And the only caveat is that you can't be seen by the spirits that are floating around. So it's kind of like a puzzle, and it's very fun. So I've been in there multiple times, but I've only ever once actually had Zarum there, because I think other people grab them as soon as they can. But the goal is for you to find Zarum's body, and so you go down into the cave to find the rest of his body. And if you do that, you will get an achievement. But there's also lots of treasure chests to open.
Sweet.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Let's see. So what do we got here? Mailbox and...
Yes, mailbox. I think that's important. I think it's...
yeah.
It's not... It doesn't seem like it is, but it really is, because it doesn't show on the map.
Okay, so...
It does show on the map.
I think it... I don't know. I think it might, but it's a little... It's a little tricksy.
It's misleading, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't really know. Yeah. It does show on the map. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. It's right next to it.
So, your mailbox is actually a little grumble. And you go up and you talk to him, and he gets a little creepy on you, does this weird little, like, mouth-breathing deal, and then you tell him, like, dude, can I just mail something, please? And he's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, well, Rob does not like grumbles. This is what I've learned.
I don't dislike
them. Today I learned Rob does not like grumbles.
Yeah, no, I don't dislike them, but, like, I don't like it when they get weird on you. And this guy just kind of got... he gave me a real weird vibe and made me uncomfortable. Yeah. And I'll do it. I'll do it for the mailbox. Your bags, my bags are full to the brim of gear and trinkets and tokens and you name it. So I'll do it.
All right. So here's a question. I still haven't found this one. I used my own mammoth mount yesterday. Where's the repair vendor? There's got to be
it's
one
just,
there.
Just down from the mailbox.
Okay, same side?
Just like, yep, same side. You just
Which
go down.
Which is north
another,
of the arena.
Another couple of guys, yeah.
Okay.
On the north side of the arena, yep. Yeah,
all
but
right.
If you've got the mammoth, then it's not a big deal. But yep,
yeah,
that's the only one. That's actually the only one I think I've found so far, is up by the mailbox, so.
as well, gathering professions. I know I think you touched on it briefly, but... all the gathering professions, you get coins and lesser charms from the gathering.
Yeah.
What I've seen a lot of people saying, if you're a skinner, there's, you know, animals all over the place that people have killed and not skinned, and it's, you know, a skinner's paradise over there right now for coins and, well, of course, the leather and your lesser charms, since you get it from all of that. So if you're a skinner, head on over.
One thing that Mrs. Pandera has taught us is you must loot everything.
Yes, loot everything. You there must. Will always be something.
Yeah.
At first it was for those the spirits or whatever, the motes. Mm-hmm. And that's at first it was like, oh my gosh, I gotta have these. So now like I'm just loot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So everybody loots, so if you're a skinner then that's real easy to skin all these stuff. The mining nodes will give you coins and charms. It's all, man, it's really nice that they kind of just have just kind of gone all out with the generosity here.
Yeah, I've been able to do my leatherworking daily every day just from being out here. Not necessarily killing 20 things, but just having dead things laying all over the place to skin them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I know this. My wife and I stumbled across by accident, but the birds around the trees, you'll see a nest there. And you can click on the nest, and there's a chance of getting a non-combat pet. Or I guess they're battle pets now. They're battle pets. But anyway, there's a chance of getting a battle pet out of one of these nests.
I didn't know this.
I know, my wife did it and stumbled upon it by accident because she got one.
Oh my gosh.
No.
And now I feel like I need to go around and click every single one.
Well, you do.
And there's a lot of that stuff that'll give you buffs if you click on it. It'll give you a 5% stat buff. Yeah. So.
The apples and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want the pet. I don't care about the stat. I just want the pet.
But when you do click on a nest, any of those birds that are close will aggro to you. So you usually get tougher ones, and then three of the smaller ones, generally, is what I find every time I click on one. I still don't have the pet. I think she got it on the first nest she clicked, too, which is kind of unfair.
Oh,
but anyway. I know.
Oh, and also, there's another thing that occasionally when you loot some of the critters around there, you'll get, like, a meaty crane leg or something, and you can turn that in for coins as well. There's, like, a recurring... like daily quests, kind of like what we had at Half Hill, where you could turn in groceries. You can turn in like a meaty crane leg and get 50 or so timeless coins.
Yeah, I turned it because of the daily quest. Like all of a sudden, I turned in like I don't know. I had five or six of those in my bag, and the next thing I know, it was like I had 1,000 coins. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So please don't sell your don't just
vendor them, yeah, or toss them
meat. Because it looks on it, and actually the item will say a chef might be interested in this item. So it does give you a clue, I guess. But just be careful of what you pick up, because most of the stuff that you do pick up will be useful.
Don't be frivolous with your meat.
Yes.
Save it for the right person.
Save your meat.
What's going on?
Oh, Marty.
Hey, pirate ship.
Yep.
Did we talk about that before the show? Or
yeah, we did. So if you want to touch on it quick.
Yeah. Anna.
Yes.
Pirate ship, go.
Pirate ship. Oh, so there is a big, like, whale fish thing that swims around
Evermaw.
And when you kill Evermaw, there's a 100% drop rate that you will get a lantern. And with the lantern, you can go to the north... Is that considered the north tip? It's not really. It's like northwest area.
Just above the Horde camp.
Yeah, just above the Horde camp, there's a spot where you can put the lantern, and you put the lantern down, and then you spawn the ship. Well, you have to have killed Evermaw first to be able to do that, and the lantern is guaranteed from everyone that loots them, but you can't just... summon him at any time. You have to have killed Evermaw, and then you can loot the ship. So it's kind of like this little step. Like, first you kill Evermaw, and then you can summon the ship. And I wasn't really aware of this until yesterday when I was like, I want the ship! So that, and the other thing about the ship is that you're guaranteed a drop of Rime of the Time Lost Mariner, which is a fun item that turns you into a skeleton pirate, which is really fun. Unless you're a druid, because as soon as you turn into moonkin form or bear form or whatever, it makes it go away.
Damn.
But if you're not a druid, then it's really fun, and you can be a pirate. And that might be why when you're walking around the aisle, you see a lot of people being.
Yeah, I think it lasts 15 minutes and has a TPR cooldown, something like that. Yeah. But it's so really cool. It's like a celestial ghost pirate thing.
I want to clarify here. Did you just say druids are no fun? That's what I got there.
Yeah.
No. Druids are.
You
so
heard
fun.
It here. Exclusive.
I'm sure that's what I just heard there.
Druids are so much fun that we don't need to look like pirates.
Wow.
All right. We
can just be fun on our own. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's no fun to use items like that as a weapon.
Those, now those corrupt hosen with the diving helmets on, when you loot that chest, you'll get a diving helmet out of there, and it'll turn you into one of those hosen guys.
That swims at 200% swim. That is the best thing
like a boss
I've
too,
ever gotten.
And it's another one of those fun, you know, in your bag items. So
does it get messed up if you're a druid and you switch forms?
I don't know. You're the one that said being a druid's not that fun. So.
No! Druid is being fun. I love being a druid.
Druid is for fun.
Druid is for fun. But, yeah. I need to find out. I'm going to find out. I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to complain at you.
Good.
That
good.
You can't do. Okay. All right.
Good.
All right. So.
I welcome this.
I think we're at our last thing on the list here. And this is actually the one I'm most interested in because I haven't got a clue. But you said at the top of the show that you got it the first day. The noodle cart.
Yes, I love the noodle cart.
How do you get a noodle cart?
Oh my gosh.
One.
So I feel like I'm more excited about the noodle cart than most people are, but it's really exciting for me because it's a neat, like, different thing about cooking. And I really like cooking. And I mean, my character even has, like, my druid has a cooking outfit.
You play a druid?
Yes, I play druid. Even though they're not fun, like I said, apparently, I play a druid. So, when you go to the Redstone Run, at the very bottom where the bridge has collapsed, there's a little piece of wood there, and you can pick up a quest. You have to have completed the first quest of each of the Masters of the Ways quests.
But you don't have to be a master in all the ways.
No, you have to be 600, and you have to have completed the first quest of each of the ways.
Okay, I can do this.
I made a post on my blog this morning about it. It linked to a lot of things. It was more for fun with some pictures. But you only need to have completed the first quest of each of the ways. And once you pick up the quest, you're able to figure out what the news, like, secret ingredient is, which is really fun. And you go through and, you do some old, like, dungeons, which are, and by old, I mean, like, beginning of Pandaria dungeons.
Old, like, hand?
Yeah.
Hey. Hey, right now, Rob, you and I are the same age. We're the same age right now. Just pointing
that
out.
That old.
You're only as old as you feel.
I'm going to pretend like I'm younger than you. I don't know. You do some, like, beginning of Pandaria dungeons, and you do some fun quests that are really, they're fun, and it's very, like, fluff and, like, just for fun, and it doesn't, like, the average player can do it, and it doesn't matter if you haven't played in 2 months. You can go out, and there's a fatty turtle state quest, which if anybody follows me on Twitter, they know that I hate the fatty goat steak quest.
That was the worst.
Who doesn't hate that one?
Every time it was the daily, I would just tweet fatty goat steak and I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I would just see it and I would be like, nope, and then I would abandon it and go.
So there's a fatty turtle steak quest,
which
I guarantee you, when you get to that point, try it, because it's fine. It's like the drop rate's fine. Like, it's what fatty goat steak should have been. I think Blizzard's picking on itself, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, they're good at that. Like,
so you get that, and you get your steaks, and then you get to do a solo scenario where you actually run your own cart, your noodle cart, and nice. It's really fun. And you create a noodle cart, and it's unlike the the banquets that we create now or that we've ever created before. When you lay out a banquet now, you just put it out and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this, you actually put it out and you can jump in it like a vehicle. And there's multiple buttons and you can do different things. You can dance to like attract people to your cart. And you can click on people and then hit a button and it'll make you say like, "Hey, Hind, why don't you buy my noodles?" And
awesome.
You'll like shoot off fireworks and it's completely fun. And there's three different ones. There's a 250 noodle cart, there's a 275, and there's a 300.
Oh.
I don't raid, so I only went to 275 because past that it takes more and more items. The 250 noodle cart is very easy to make as a person that hasn't really played that much recently. Right. I was able to get the 250 and the 275, and then I just stopped with the 300 because I don't feel like I need that. But it was fun, and I was able to experience it, and it's a really interesting twist on it. So what the noodle cart is you actually set up shop, and all the people in your group are able to purchase for 3 gold for the 300 stat food. They can purchase a stack of food, and they can keep it in their bag, and they can eat it. So when you like wipe in a raid, you can actually, everyone still has their noodle cart food, and you can sit down and eat it.
Yeah, so everyone has to buy their own food.
So who gets the gold? Do you get the gold?
No.
What a
rip.
It must
be like some sort of mafia protection, like... Taran Zhu offers you his protection or something.
Taran Zhu gets the gold. That quote, Rob. The Taran Zhu gets the gold. We don't get the gold.
It
would be really great if he did, but
because it's like Jeeves too, right? Jeeves, like if I put out Jeeves, I should get the gold. It only makes sense,
or at least a cut.
10%. Just give it 10%.
So if people don't want to do like put in. Like an investment, at least do the first one because it's just really like fun and like cute and like you actually like go and get the ingredients.
I want to do this now. That's kind of awesome.
Oh, totally.
It's really fun and easy, and it's not so easy that it's just like frivolous and you don't even care at the end. It's
And like you said, this thing is going to be really good for flex raids or LFR because you put it down, and it doesn't matter how many people are there, what's going on. People can buy their own little. I think a stat, you can only carry five.
Five, yeah.
So you can buy up to five of these food, and you don't even have to worry about it. Everyone kind of has to, take care of themselves. So, and it's one of these fun items.
It's fun, and you can you jump into the cart. Word of caution though, once you jump into the cart, and you're selling it to everybody, you can purchase while you're actually in the cart. But once you jump out, the cart will disappear and no one can get food anymore.
Wow, so I gotcha.
Make sure that everyone's gotten their food before you jump out of the cart because it like crumbles in front of you, which is kind of depressing. It's really sad. But yeah, it's fun. And even if you don't do raiding or flex raiding or LFR even, just do the first one because it's really fun. And I really like the daily scenario. It's a daily. Once you get to the very end of the quest line, I don't want to spoil too much. You're able to do this daily scenario multiple times. You can do it every day. And then there's it's like other scenarios where you have the bonus for finishing it a special way.
So. Oh, right on.
Sweet.
Okay, so just how redstone run and there's something on the ground you need to pick up?
Piece of wood.
Piece of wood. Yeah. All right. I'm writing this down. Piece of wood.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to try and get an LFR run tonight before bed.
Wow.
So
I think we should probably wrap this up then, hey?
I'm about kicking you guys out of here.
No!
All right, well, we have no crowd control segment this week, but Kim has assured me that she'll have a new one for us next week.
Sweet.
In addition to that, she's been pretty busy, real life, her and her husband. But I believe this weekend they will be recording a new crowd control podcast. So hopefully we'll get that next week to listen to as well.
Yes.
We didn't really discuss this ahead of time, but Anna, do you, or sorry, I'm terrible at this. Anna, do you use macros?
I use a lot of macros, okay. Actually.
Do you have one off the top of your head for a macro of the week?
Yeah, this. Matter.
Somebody's.
Okay, sorry, PG.
Oh, wait, hold on, wait, don't go yet.
Wait.
Don't go yet.
I'm not going anywhere.
Macro of the week.
So excited about the noodle cart, I almost forgot the best part. Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, let me see. I have lots of macros. Most of them are fluff, like mounts and pets and targeting certain creatures or emotes. But my favorite one is my... I don't know how PG this has to be.
Well, just so that we don't have to edit you out again.
Oh, let me call it. I'll call it. Oh shoot, my oh shoot match macro.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Is that good? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a cast/cast nature swiftness healing touch, and to use my trinket. And I don't PvP, but you know, occasionally I play with. Elamina and Miranda, and she pulls a paladin, and I have to heal myself. So.
Uh-huh. Those paladins.
So, yeah, that is my... I actually have a macro similar to that on most of my characters that's an oh crap macro. And it, yeah. It's what I hit, and it's always the same letter, just to, yeah. It's very similar. Whatever I can do to heal myself or reduce the fact that I'm going to die as soon as possible. So, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. I've been saying this for a long time, and I don't even know if I believe it anymore. But one day I'll post these macros to our website, thetrainingdummies.com. You should go check it out. Anyway... we encourage you to post on any of the episodes. Let us know if you liked something, didn't like it. We got something completely wrong. Tell me to get my butt in gear and start posting some of these macros, whatever. Also at thetrainingdummies.com, you can leave us a voicemail. There's a link on the right-hand side of the page that says send voicemail. You don't need to install anything. You just need a mic. So yeah, you can do that. All right. Now it's time for this.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved, we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough. My darling, I can't get enough of your hand, love, baby. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your hand, love, baby.
All right, it's time for hen love. So I'm going to send some hen love, of course, to Epic Insanity for that awesome hen love intro. It's so good. It is so good. Also, I need to send some hen love to the Hordalies on the Deathwing server, our guild. The guild that is keeping me on a PvP server, even though I'm so done with PvP servers.
Right.
as well to Kim, whose lovely voice will grace our show next week. She promises. And we really hope so, too.
Hi.
As well, I have to send some hen love to Anna, not Anna, for being on the show today. Thank you very much for coming along and
thank you.
Joining us. Rob, hen love, what do you got?
Definitely Anna, and definitely Frackit for testing our ability to not edit a show.
That's what he's foyer for.
And everybody who showed up in the chat room tonight, especially WoW Mardian, because he's had some really good stuff to contribute, and he has put a ton of hard work into this patch and the rares and the farming and everything. And we're gonna link his special chest guide video and everything. So definitely to him and all you folks out there. I know I've been a little bit quiet on with the social medias, but I got some stuff going on IRL, and if it's ever appropriate, I'll bring it up. But you know, I'm working on some things, and I just appreciate you guys for being cool. I really do. I love you guys. Hey. Not Anna. How about you?
Not Anna.
I can't even get it. I can't even get it the wrong way right.
Oh, no, you got the right way right, and that's all that matters. So it's okay. It's okay. You got the right way right. I think my guildies, we've been around for a really long time and we're not very active, but there's people that have just stuck around and we're just like really good friends now, and it's amazing and awesome. And I'm so happy that we've created that sort of a friendship through this game. And I think my husband for being a fun person to play with at any given time. I can always be like, hey, come to the island with me and play with me.
Whoa,
and
it's awesome. Whoa.
and all of my Twitter friends, I love Twitter, and my transition from the WoW forums, which I love, and all those people there, to the to Twitter, and it's been a really great experience. And thank you. And thank you to the Training Dummies for letting me come on here.
It was our pleasure. Indeed. All right, Rob. We got green writing here again.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Are we down here yet? Okay. You can find our show on iTunes, so please give us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. Actually, man, if you want to, like, just go in and be like, you guys are stupid, I'll read it. I'll read it on the show. Stitcher Radio, which I believe is a thumbs up if you're using that application. And that's a bad drum roll. We do have a 5-star review.
I prefer that drum roll.
No Dummies Here by...
Sorry for testing.
And Frackit.
And to Frackit.
A Little Anarchy says, great hosts with good chemistry. But they're mini alts. These guys know what they're talking about. And when they don't, they go to the community for information. These guys can even approve your mom. That's for Mouse Over Macro. Dude, that's awesome. I like that. I'll improve your mom. They even went and added a sexy voice to the show. Give these guys a listen, and you won't be sorry you did. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. That's awesome.
Love it. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And I will work on improving your mom. Her mom goes to college. But before we wrap up the show, Anna, not Anna. I got it right.
Yay, good job. I'm proud.
At least once I will get it right. Why don't you let everybody know where they can reach you, stalk you, follow you, like you, get all up in your business?
Well, I have a blog at femtar.com. I can be emailed at aune, at femtar.com, and I can be found on Twitter at notanna, notanna.
All right. Well, episode 51 of the Training Dummies has come to an end, but don't be sad. You can hit play again. Well, unless you're in the live chat room right now, you'll have to wait till the morning, then download it, then hit play. But anyway, Oh, I should have really updated this. All right. Probably the best and easiest way to contact us is Twitter. You can find the show at Training Dummies, Rob at Rob Copeland, myself, Hend at Hend underscore Hoarderlies, and Kim at Kim Scally with the Y, Kim with the Y. And don't forget to check out the Crowd Control podcast coming to an iTunes near you. Thank you for listening.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!